Ryan, I know it's been a busy week for you so far, and you're getting ready to say goodbye. How was the day for you?
It was great. I mean, obviously, Nick Saban bringing a lot of energy, and, you know, he brought it to the place. And it's always fun to see what's on his mind. And I've obviously this quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, competition, conversation. I'm really intriguing to see how Nick Saban is going to manage it. And I thought the one comment that he made that grabbed me was simply he wouldn't – when asked the question if Jalen Hurts would still be on the roster going into Orlando, he wouldn't say a you better believe he is. He pretty much danced around that question, which I thought was really odd and maybe even created more questions than an answer.
Well, the other part of the equation that we haven't really talked about, the new rule where, you know, being able to play four games and, you know, as far as – and then still be redshirted. And so you wonder how that comes into play, say, Tua does win the job. And it's an opportunity, say, down the road, set out Jalen until you need him. You know, it's a fine line, I'm sure these will be conversations behind closed doors once the decision is made who the starting quarterback is going
to
be.
Well, obviously it will be. But to me, you got to understand, we have not talked with Jalen Hurts. All we have spoken is via his dad, Matt Hayes, Bleacher Report. And I think Alabama's probably been a little bit smart by keeping him away from the media because there's probably nothing good that could come out of that. You know, they blocked us. We were all anticipating him talking at the Manning Passing Academy. And we get down there, and they refused to allow him to talk. He wanted to talk, but Alabama wouldn't let him talk. I don't know if they were afraid of what he was going to say, but I want to see how he manages this thing. I think Tua Tagovailoa is the most talented quarterback that Nick Saban has probably had in T-Town. Just his raw talent skills. I mean, this guy, you go to practice and – very few guys I'd pay to sit there and watch throw 50 balls, but I would pay money to watch Tua Tagovailoa just throw. And he's just a talented kid. And it's something that I think Alabama fans are going to have to get used to. We're typical used in Tuscaloosa, a game manager.
Right. Look, and here's the thing. I've heard that, and we talked about that term earlier this week on Monday's show. The fact is, that's not necessarily a bad thing to be a game manager. You know, you can still make plays as a quarterback. What that means, though, under Nick Saban, don't make boneheaded decisions. You know, take care of the football. Don't be just throwing it up and hoping a prayer gets answered, per se. Don't be pulling a Chad Kelly from a couple years back and bouncing a football off a helmet into your wide receiver's hands, for example.
Well, you're right. You're right. And I think that's – Tua right now, you got to remember, you play a different game when you're the backup quarterback. You got to get noticed. You got to make those – you got to take those chances. And obviously, Jalen knew that he was the starting quarterback and did not take those chances. I was talking with Gary Danielson earlier. I respect his knowledge.
Right.
He told me, he said, guys, forget about the competition. He said, Jalen's got to learn how to play the quarterback position. He said, he's got to take some of those chances. You've got to distribute the football out to your wide receivers, out to your running backs. Get those guys involved. The five stars are there for a reason. If you don't get them involved in the offense, you know, it's frustrating for a lot of different vantage points. And I thought Gary, he nailed it on my show by saying he's got to learn how to play the position. And then we can begin to have the quarterback talk. He said if he didn't know how to play the position, and he pretty much – probably the harshest comments I've heard on Jalen – since I've asked analysts their opinion, Gary didn't give an easy analysis, man. It was pretty rough. But that's the quarterback in Alabama. You better be ready to take those, and Tua better be ready to take those because he's going to throw interceptions, and he's going to get torched. It's just part of being the quarterback at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. At the University of Alabama, look at that offensive line. You know, when you think about Williams and, Pearshaw Baker, and when you think about that, and you think about the stable, not just one or two, the stable of running backs, you know, you don't have to take chances if you're Alabama on offense.
You're right. I mean, let's go to Damien Harris for a minute. Starting tailback, University of Alabama, had 135 carries.
That's it.
135 carries. And those were because those zone reads, we're not Jalen. He caught his own number so much, and I think that's where Gary was trying to explain it. Maybe if I would have given him more time, maybe he could have even went a little deeper. But I thought the comment that he made, he said, you know, you got to get – if you're looking at a 16-yard gain with a wide receiver, or I can run and pick up the first down, but maybe it's 4 or 5, he said he's choosing to get that 4 or 5 rather than that 16, that 27. He's got to be able to pull the trigger and throw the football.
I mean, Damian, he doesn't – I mean, you talk about the lack of touches. I mean, that's why he's busting 75-yard touchdown runs.
Sure.
Because he just, like, you don't know when you're going to get any more carries.
No, absolutely. And to me, when you look at these weapons, guys, these wide receivers, these tight ends, and this may not be good news from the rest of the SEC for the rest of the SEC, I think this may be, as far as offensively, one of Nick Saban. If this quarterback thing comes together, with the wide receivers, the offensive line, the running backs, I think Najee Harris from Antioch, California, is the next stud
right
in Tuscaloosa. You look at Brian Robinson, young man from Hillcrest. You go through the wide receivers, whether it's Jerry Jeudy, the A-Day MVP from 2017. You go to Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, who caught the touchdown pass against Georgia, second and 26. There is so much time.
Think about the fact that you name all these other receivers before you even get to the guy that caught the winning touchdown against Georgia.
And that's the part, is you want to get those guys involved in the offense. You want to get them involved. And I think that's where Alabama, they need Mike Locksley to come up with the creativity to get these guys involved in the offense, because this game is also about recruiting too. And let's back up just for a minute. You look at the Auburn game, Mississippi State game, that's hard to sell offensively. I'm not talking about defense. But you go out because everybody says, well, you're not going to sell that. The opposing coaches are selling it for you. They're looking and they're showing you the film and they're going, hey, if you go to Tuscaloosa, if you're not the number one wide receiver, you might not even catch a ball for weeks. They're showing that to the opposing – or the opposing coaches are showing that. I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, that's what – that business of recruiting is all about. And so you may not be, but they're selling your offense in a bad way.
Ryan Fowler joining us with Tuscaloosa's The Game on 102.9. I talked to all three Alabama players today, and, you know, we talked about the process. We talked about the fact that they know each and every week somebody is looking to bring them down, and it's amazing to me. And you can't really state it enough, but forget about the 5 national championships in 9 years. Starting with week one of 2008, all the regular season games from the start of 2008 to where we stand today, every week except for only 3 weeks, Alabama was still in the national championship picture. And then that was in 2010, after they were ranked 5th in the country and they lose to LSU on the road. And that's when that was it. But that's it. Only 3 regular season weeks during that time frame, and here we are, 2018.
Guys, I've grew up in the state of Alabama. What we are watching, and I don't know if Alabama fans truly appreciate it, like they do, but when you win as much.
You mean an Alabama fan base that not once but twice ran off Coach Bryant, or tried to?
Okay.
You mean that fan base?
Okay, but I think what we've – when you win 17 national titles, you almost get into the mindset that it's easy. Guys, it's not easy to
look
win
at
a
Georgia.
National title.
Look at all the things Georgia did right last year. Early on, going in and beating Notre Dame. Beating Auburn as far as for the SEC title, winning their semifinal game, and yet they still ended up one play short of being a national champion.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you've got fan bases and fans of other programs that will support their school just as hard as Alabama fans do, and they'll never see their team win a national title. I mean, think about it. You got 5 out of the last 9 years. You've watched your Nick Saban hoist up a trophy. I mean, it is, but the part, listen, if I won a national title, man, my chest would be poked out. You talk to these guys, they've already put it behind him. I had a guy tell me, it was Ross Pierce Baker's like, just another one. You know, I mean, think about that. I mean, but I think what we'll do, Johnny, and I love to cover the historical side of it. I think we'll get back 15 years from now, maybe 20, and we'll look back and we'll go, he did what? And that's when you will really, because right now we're caught up in this moment. And I tell the fans, this is not going to last forever. I don't know when it's going to end, but you better enjoy every single minute of it, because it's not going to last, you know, 15 more years or 10 more years.
I have a question, and I would love to get an answer to this. I wonder if Nick Saban thinks about the five national titles since 2009, you know, 5 in 9 years, or does he also think in that next breath, another one that got away in 2008, another one that got away in 2013, 2014, and 2016. So four got away that were right there within the grasp.
Okay. I asked this question to him, and not today, but I've asked it in previous occasions. When I sat down with Nick Saban, I threw that question up, and I said, Coach, have you ever just sat down for 1 minute and thought about what you've been able to accomplish? I'm talking about his mind is programmed. Some coaches would take a second and they would say something that they're supposed to say. You know, we're looking forward to the next one. I'm telling you, it was no quicker than I let that last word. He went, well, how about the teams that didn't win a national title?
Exactly.
I mean, it was like it was a split. It was nature to him. It didn't even cross his mind. He went through it. He said, well, how about the teams that didn't win a national title? How about those teams? And he goes, it was really our fault as coaches. We didn't get that team to get to that level. And I do. I mean, he said it in the room next to us. He said, I hate to lose more than I like to win. The great ones usually say that.
Right. And it haunts them. And I do hope that one day, you know, when you talk about somebody who has impacted so many, you know, student athletes during his time there, you know, he's a different type of head coach. He's not going to give you a hug as far as that coach player kind of thing. But are you a better person when you leave his program and go on to whether playing in the NFL or going on to whatever endeavors you have in life? And the answer to that, if you listen, paid attention, and bought into the process per se, the answer is yes, you are.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. And I watch these young men arrive, and you know they're the superstar on their blank high school team. They are the man. They're the man on campus. And I watch them come in, and most of them come in with an ego, because rightfully so. I mean, for 2 or 3 years, they've been the best player probably in that city, in that region. They've been looked up to. And then I watch them. Nick Saban almost breaks them down.
Right. And you know how he does it? He puts them up, and like he puts a defensive back, five-star DB out of high school, up against a Julio Jones or Amari Cooper. And they get beat play in and play out in practice. And they're going, I can't play at this level.
Yeah, and that's, you know, he breaks them down. But then I also watch the building process where he builds these guys back up. And I asked Ross Pierce-Baker, because I remember interviewing him coming out of high school. I said, how are you a different person? And you do it, and it becomes it's just – you don't even realize it's happening. But you become to say things like Nick Saban and stuff that – you know, like we always ask the players about looking at the scoreboard. You know, they're taught not to look at the scoreboard. I don't know if you ever see Nick Saban going crazy. Alabama will be up, I don't know, 49-10 like they were a couple of years ago in Neyland Stadium. And he's going crazy with 2 or 3 minutes to go. And what it is their coach, they believe that if they execute every single play, they're judged on every single play. Yes, that was success. It was failure. That was
right.
Success. And they believe if they execute every single play, there's not a team that can beat them in college football. And that's the confidence that they have in Tuscaloosa. It's amazing to watch this. I try to apply it sometimes in life, and I have a hard time. But it's amazing that they never even look up at the scoreboard, that they're taught not to even look up at the scoreboard. That they're judged on per play, not per game.